Ah, hello everybody, Scotch in the balcony. Harry and Al here again. So, come here. We're just going to jump straight into it. Al, I didn't want to do politics. You know I hate talking about politics because I get fucking just... I get upset and annoyed and angry and want to start taking sniper rifle courses. But Bertie's back. Bertie Ahern is back. Now, for those of you who don't know who Bertie Ahern was, he was Taoiseach. Yeah, he was. I'm sorry, Al, he was dodgy.
To give context to anyone.
Well, hold on. But the Elwins loved him. They still love him. They'll get him back in again.
And his predecessor of the party, Charlie Haughey, as well. Yes. But for anyone who doesn't, may not know, in the 10 years really leading up to just before the financial crisis and the crash in Ireland, which was particularly severe, he was Taoiseach, he was Prime Minister, he was the leader of the country. And prior to that, the 80s to I think the early 90s, or late 80s, early 90s, he was the Minister for Finance. And let's just say his reputation took a nosedive once the crash happened. Everyone kind of knew at the time that Irish politics, like a lot of other countries, was kind of corrupt. It was brown envelope stuff. It was property developers and wealthy people who were able to, you know, bung a little money here and there, allegedly, although not allegedly in some cases. And he was part of a tribunal that was looking into it. He was part of it. He was one of the people they wanted to talk to. And again, you know, so he has been tainted with corruption ever really since. And I mean, it's incredible. Now, because he was an architect of the Good Friday Agreement, and he was Taoiseach at the time, there's a thing that comes up to the 25th anniversary where I think they're trying to, in Irish politics, to rebuild his reputation, I think, which is, it's bizarre when you hear Fine Gael, who were the party that for years were so opposed to Fianna Fáil, the two main Civil War parties, or parties that came out of the Civil War in Ireland 100 years ago, that even they're trying to somewhat smooth over the rebuilding of his legacy. It's incredible. Now, I didn't hate him. Full disclosure, I don't have the hatred towards him others do. I do think there were elements of him where he was quite a good leader. But then he was a leader in times that weren't...
Hold on. Now, I have to be careful what I say now, because I am listening to the podcast, The Real Dictators. Okay, I know you're listening. You've started listening to it.
That's an excellent podcast. If anyone likes history,
I've passed it on. Everyone I've passed it to, they're all listening to it. It's amazing. The Real Dictators. It needs to be listened, and it's amazing, and it really is. All right. So, and I have no doubt there are people who thought some of these guys, you know, were all right because they were all good leaders. Okay, and I'm not going to mention names because Bertie Ahern isn't in the same bracket or the same league as these guys. Okay. But they were all good leaders. If you're going to become a leader of a country, you're a good leader. Right? Okay. So Bertie had skills. He had abilities to get to, not only to get to where he was, but to keep getting voted in. Okay. Because wasn't there that thing where even his own colleagues in his own party couldn't tell you what the fuck he was saying when he used to get up in the house because he just didn't know what he was saying. It was like, what the hell? Because it was, you know. But it was a skill. Unlike Biden, who's obviously who's dying, okay? Bertie just had an ability to say shit without saying anything. It was an amazing ability. You can't take any of it. He was a good leader. But at the end of the day, he wasn't a good leader for the people, would be my opinion on it. And he wasn't.
I think we should probably...
That's my opinion. He was corrupt.
Well, you said this to me before. So what was the main thing people remember from that tribunal about Bertie Ahern? Most unbelievable thing.
Well, Bertie Ahern, whose mentor was Charlie Haughey, right? And... I don't want to talk about him until I fact check a few things because
Well, yeah,
there are some amazing things there. You kind of go, no, that can't be real. And I
working class background. Yeah, Charlie Hyde, who was a working class background, lifelong politician, who ended up owning his own island.
Yes.
Yeah. At a time, and by the way, he bought that island at a time when this country was supposedly on its knees. So I'm not really sure how a lifelong politician manages to amass that kind of wealth. But again, we're not the only country where it happens.
No.
So there must be money coming in somewhere that at least is not publicly declared. I'm not suggesting illegality. I'm saying, oh, well, actually, he is dead.
No, that is fucking illegal. Sorry. Right? That is illegal. Okay? It's not like doing a cash job. It's not like doing the odd fucking cash job.
Actually.
Right? And not telling the government about fucking the 150 quid you made the other fucking day. No, he bought a fucking island.
It kind of is, though. Because they're still getting cash bunged in envelopes. And well, I suppose then you got offshore. But the thing about Bertie Ahern, the thing about Bertie that people...
Hold on. Right, so he was Minister of Finance for Charlie Hyde. Charlie Hyde was his mentor, right? And he was... Now, we cannot forget this, that he was Minister of Finance. So he was in charge of the money. The Minister of Money for the country, who, according to him, he didn't have a bank account. Now, hold on. For those who are listening, or one listener, I want you to think about that for a second. His mentor bought a fucking island, and he, as Minister of Finance, didn't have a bank account.
So he maintained that there was money being talked about and he said, well, that couldn't happen because I didn't have a bank account.
It's nuts. Bertie's back.
Bertie, as far as I know, spent the vast majority of his career in politics. The vast majority of his career as a TD, right? Yeah. So TD, anyone who doesn't know, is like an MP, a member of Parliament. Dáil Éireann in Ireland is a chock-a-dáil a TD. And my question is, why couldn't they just check where his wages were going when he was a politician? They must have been sending it somewhere. Because even in the 80s, right? Now, I remember one of my earlier jobs, and I did my father's friend give me a couple of months during the summer working, doing painting and decorating when I was in school in about 94, 95. And yes, you used to get a little brown envelope, one of those wage packets, which actually I kind of missed them. And you'd have the cash in it and how much you worked that week and all that and how much you earned. But I'm pretty certain that the civil service and the politicians in the 80s weren't getting paid in cash on a Friday. Like, that money...
No, and here's why, Al, right? Because all fucking civil servants got a half day on a Friday, or they got an hour off or something, right, to go cash their check.
Oh, the banking hour still exists in parts of the civil service, by the way.
Oh, that, yeah. The unions came in and says, no, you can't take this hour off the people. Just the hour they got for cashing their checks, putting the checks into their bank accounts. No, they're still entitled that hour off, even though they get paid electronically. Like, this is the fucking world we live in, right? This is what they do. This is the government, right?
Well, civil service everywhere needs reform. It's the same here in the UK. They need massive... I'm not talking about public sector. And this is... Sorry, I know we're going off topic. This was the great...
fucking unions.
Done 20-odd years ago. When I was growing up, if you talked to someone in the civil service and called them a public sector worker, they would very quickly correct you because the civil service was considered a higher level job than somebody who works in the front line of the public sector, nurses, teachers, that kind of thing. They were civil servants. But then at some point, unions realized nobody has sympathy when civil servants go out on strike. So they started calling them all public sector workers. Yeah. But now they're public sector strikes rather than the civil service going out on strike. But you're absolutely right. That banking hour existed so that they could cash checks and put money in the bank accounts. The idea that he says he didn't have a bank account at the time is frankly ridiculous. And I really don't understand why they couldn't have. I mean, the Mahan Tribunal cost... untold amounts of money between lawyers and evidence and picking up stuff and investigating things. They couldn't fucking investigate where his money was going in 1987,
1988. Al, he obviously said, listen, and he probably said, listen, I don't have a bank account, so I can't give you that information. And you just got to have to trust me on that. And obviously they trusted him.
Well, I think what happened was, I reckon he... So I kind of have this view that he's sitting in a fancy restaurant in Dublin 4 or a bar where they all go and meet. And of course, his barrister is a mate. They all kind of know. They're having a few drinks. They're a bit pissed. Jesus, Bertie, how are we going to get you out of it? And one of them says, just tell me you didn't have a bank account. And then someone else will sit and look, that's ridiculous. Even for us, they're not going to believe it. I reckon Bertie said that. I don't know whether he said it at the tribunal or if it was given as written evidence. But I think he spoke it at the tribunal. And I reckon he panicked, said it. And then once you say it, it's on record. So you can't pull...
But listen, but when he was asked about his finances, right, he was also... Because he used to say, my mates give me money. When I was in... Remember the Manchester thing, wasn't it? My mates give me money for speaking at a dinner and stuff like that. Like... Was it 35 grand? No, 35 grand back then is not 35 grand now.
It's about 70 now. It's about 65,
35 70. Grand back then. That's a house, right? So that's bollocks, right?
Actually, it's a lot more than that. You're right. But I think...
But he also said, I didn't know this. I was only reading this fucking today. But what he also said, and this I think was at the tribunal, was, I won a lot of that on the horses. And you're kind of going... Sorry, is that not what criminals say? That they're just very lucky on the horses.
Like, the thing is...
Come on.
Again, that's definitely a conversation that was had over pints with the barrister and a few of the lads in the inner golden circle, where they were like, just tell me one of the Gigi's. So they can't prove it. What are they going to do? You think you paid cash.
And especially back then.
Go to the race course. Who's going to know that it's you that got that money?
Yeah.
It's I just, for me... I have no problem with Bertie being involved in advisory towards the Good Friday Agreement and Northern Ireland and all that kind of thing. I have no problem with that. But getting back into any kind of mainstream politics, I think is wrong. His day is done, particularly given the allegations. He's over 70. Let it go. Retire. And just leave it. But he wants, you know, Bertie is an arrogant so-and-so. There's a lot of politics. Wants to end it on a high.
No. He doesn't want to end it on a high, right? And this is my... And I disagree with that, and this is why. And maybe it's because I've been listening to this thing about the dictators and stuff like that. And it was the Caesar one that sticks out a little bit. So, a few years ago, before Bertie totally did a disappearing act until lately, he was talking about going for Dublin mayor.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm nearly sure he said, right, that he would only go for if he had more power. And I remember that and went, yeah, that's Bertie. So Bertie wanted to become Dublin mayor, but only if he had more power. And I think it was along the lines of basically becoming untouchable, that he could do whatever he wanted, right? Because,
yeah.
Right. Now that, to me, is, that's not for the good of the people, Al. Right? Because if he was really doing it for the good of the people, he would have taken up Dublin mayor, right? So, we've been very lucky with our last three presidents, right? And I may not have agreed with everything that our last three presidents, but we've been very lucky that they have, unlike a certain orange-haired guy across the big water, okay? We've had three presidents, all 14 years each. That can hold themselves and conduct themselves very well. Mm. And I think that's why our current president got in. Even though he was shit old, okay? But when you looked at the people he was up against, I think the Irish people went, hold on a second, all these other fuckers, they don't hold themselves. Because the president of Ireland is called the first citizen of Ireland. And I like that. Because it's not supposed to be, there's a bit of political in it, but it's not a political role. It's our equivalent, I think, of the royal family or what the royal family is now. That it's just it's a person, it's just a stature and represents our country. And I think Bertie's going to get in because I'm wondering who's going to run against them. Because I think people will just go, fuck it, who are we going to pick here? And it was sort of like the poor Americans when they had to choose between orange hair and Hillary. Like, what the fuck? Who do you pick? And I think he's going to... And I don't think maybe it's a good thing. I hope somebody awesome just steps up and just, yeah, come here. That's the person.
Maybe it'll end up between him and Jerry Adams. he went for it before, didn't he? He didn't get through.
Yeah, but... Jerry Adams. Oh, let me think about that. Hold on. I'd have to think about who I'd pick. That's the problem. All right.
Now, if Martin McGuinness was still alive, I think he would have been a great choice because he was an admitted man of violence who turned to peace, and without him, there probably wouldn't have been. Although he wasn't the only person that brought it about. Unfortunately, he passed away. But I don't think Bertie wouldn't get voted in by the public. So it won't stand. But he's doing it for some reason. Like, he's back in the party now, and you're thinking to yourself, what is going on? I can only think it's to do with, he will be part in somewhere or another of the 25th anniversary. If there's a celebration or whatever it is, commemoration of that Good Friday Agreement, that they want him kind of not as a corrupt outsider, but to rebuild his image because he was the Taoiseach at the time. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like corruption, as you know. I'm kind of zero tolerance, but given the importance of the piece, I'm not against that. I'm not against the fact that he should be able to stand on a podium or whatever and be celebrated for the work that he did on that, right? I can almost separating the artist from the art to some extent.
Oh, right? Yeah, listen, come here. I have no problem with that, okay? Because you know me. I'm very good at separating the artist from and the art, okay? Yeah. I can do that, okay? No issue with movies made by certain Kevin Spacey. No problem with that. I'm not letting him mind my kids, but I watch his movies and I love them. And I think he should be recognized for the work he did with Northern Ireland. There's no doubt about that. I think he should maybe also get a fucking an award from the Brown Envelope Stationery Companies as well. We'll leave that for another day. But he should be recognized. And I think he should be maybe even rewarded for it. But not as fucking president of Ireland. Just
no, and it's funny because Leo Varadkar's, these rotating Taoiseach bullshit. But he was the Taoiseach before Micheál Martin came back in, and like for me, although Leo's back now, isn't he?
Leo's back.
So, and he was very soft on it, and I thought something's going on here. He was like, "Look, it's not for our party. It's not for us to talk about." But he was like, you know, he did do a lot of good for the peace. Now, I don't know. Leo's not above reproach when it comes to doing things wrong either. No. So I don't know.
Nobody becomes leader, okay, without stepping on a few heads, okay? That's the way the world is, okay? But it's where that line is. And Bertie is corrupt. I'm sorry. However, I do agree 110% with you. There is something. Like, this isn't a case where Bertie is just, maybe he's got his first bank account and he says, shit, I better start earning money properly. You know, I can't be living off my cash that I have buried out the back garden anymore. You know, I have to be.
And anytime he's interviewed, unless it's a softball interview, that is rightly the first question that gets asked. Like, you say you didn't have a bank account, you were a minister for finance. And he does. You ever saw the interview with the guy from the BBC? It was very good. And he ended up walking out. He was like, we're supposed to be here by the agreement. And he's like, listen, Bertie, you may think that you've answered all those questions. I don't know anyone in Ireland who knows what the real answer was to him not having a bank account. So you haven't answered the questions to the satisfaction of the people. And if you want to move back into public life, then you're going to have to answer that. At least you're going to have to answer that question. Was it bollocks? You really have no bank account? What are we talking about here? So I just think, I think Fianna Fáil are potentially setting a trap for themselves because, you know, they're now saying he's not going to be a prominent figure in the party ever again, but he is a former Taoiseach. He's now going back into the party. Obviously he's not a TD. And so he's not in Dáil Éireann, but I don't know how this doesn't backfire on Fianna Fáil. And they're already at they're at the lowest point they've been since the foundation of the party 100 years ago. So, or over 100 years ago. So I don't know what it baffles me as to why now, except for the Good Friday Agreement. But to be honest, they could have done that anyway without him going back into the party. So he's got...
Yeah, he didn't have to be a full member.
No, he's got some sympathy from somewhere, or he's got someone by the balls and he's like, listen, I can talk about stuff or you can let me back into the party. I don't know which way that's gone, because most of, other than Micheál Martin, I think pretty much all the others from those days are retired now or dead. So it to that extent, it's
yeah,
in that regard. Do you know what I mean? Like, it really strikes me as very, very strange.
Oh, no, something smells. There's something up. And Mira, I would be a bit of a fan of Leo Varadkar a little bit. A fan only in comparison to all the other possible leaders of our country. But I was a bit disappointed in his comments and his approach to Bertie coming back in. Yeah. But he has to look until there's another general election, because you're saying I think it will backfire on Fianna Fáil. Okay. But I think Fine Gael have to be careful it doesn't backfire on them, because they're standing beside Fianna Fáil because the two of them run the government now.
Those two parties need to make a decision.
Yeah, come here. There needs to be a general. There either needs to be a general election, or Fianna Fáil has to just step into the background and hopefully take that fucking Green Party, fucking Eamon Ryan with them as well, right? And just
the problem with the polls at the moment, or the problem is the polls at the moment, that it looks like the Green Party, whatever happens, will be kingmakers, because rise in the polls. They're still not going to get in on their own. But I don't understand people still voting for the Green Party. Like, he is a fucking idiot, that guy.
Well, and I know why. Well, I have a theory. And the theory is, we kind of need the Green Party. We just don't need this Green Party. We need a good Green Party, a logical Green Party. But we don't need... But come here, but as you said, they're kingmakers, right? And the problem is, if you're the kingmaker, okay, you get to wield a lot of power.
You do, but where it happened with the DUP in Westminster in the UK, they overplayed their hand. I remember saying at the time, they're choosing king for a day, right? Fool for a lifetime. And that's what's happened to the DUP. But the way it is in Ireland, that politics is so fractured, that you really, it's very hard now. Fianna Fáil, well, let's be honest, Fianna Fáil managed it under Bertie Ahern, right? Where they got in on their own in the early 2000s. It was the 2002, they swept the boards.
Mm-hmm.
But that can't happen now in Ireland. Sinn Féin will only get so far. And I think they're hitting their peak now and they haven't been in power yet. And Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, that vote is now so fragmented. And with the Green Party, that get a reasonable amount of that the Green Party can continue to be the kingmakers. That they can't really overplay their hand, because they know that if the Green Party pull out tomorrow, the government falls. And it will be the same if Sinn Féin get in next time. They're going to have to go in with the Greens. Because to me, to a certain extent, the Greens these days are almost left-right agnostic. It is the climate. It is the climate. And again, I'm not getting into whether it's good, bad, or different. They are just the climate agenda. It's a climate crisis. That's it. They don't care if, as long as their policies are met, they don't care if everything else is left, right, or center. As long as that agenda is fulfilled, which is a bit different to Green parties of old that would traditionally just be completely on the left.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I agree with you that there should be a Green Party, but this one I'd love to see wiped out.
He has to go. And I wondered... And the problem is, while they're still kingmakers, he won't go. And they won't get rid of him, because they'll just go. But I think for the good, I mean, if they're going to be kingmakers, they need to get rid of him, because he's a fucking idiot.
Hang on.
And he's causing more damage to the country. Like, it's
Eamon Gilmore, right?
Eamon
Ryan. Sorry, Mr. Gilmore. Eamon Ryan.
And it's a guy I know, turns out, kind of works for him a little bit, works in his office in
Dublin Bay South. of course.
Is that the D4 Scarf Brigade?
That's
yes, we're going out to feed the homeless, and that'll solve everything. Fuck off, right?
Balls, Donnybrook.
Yeah, there we go.
Bello, Renala, Rathmines. Yeah,
yeah. That's the scarf.
Scarf. They're the ones where, you know, as I always say, the not in my backyard crowd. So they want everyone to sacrifice, but yes, we can't sacrifice anything. So even with housing, not in my backyard. You'd Pat Kenny saying, well, I mean, this is Hoth, obviously. This is the other side. But he was, you know, you have him saying things like, well, you know, we've got, you know, we don't want to ruin the beautiful views that we have here. And it's like, oh, but you don't mind building up and building high elsewhere. And I think you have to do that. But that burden should be shared. So that's why this guy keeps getting elected with the chattering classes who want to play at champagne socialism and champagne climate change agendas. And I'm being a little bit unfair, I thought to myself, looking it up, I thought, oh, I fucking bet he's in one of those constituencies, and he's right in the middle of us.
Yeah. And they see, like, I don't agree with the whole thing of that idea, oh, we all have to share the pain and stuff. Okay, no, I think when you go down that road, you know, it's, I don't think the right solutions come out of it, right? I think you got to look for the right solutions. And the building up thing is going to have to happen in Dublin. And I think it has to be kept to certain areas. I say that as someone who lives out in the suburbs. So I don't want fucking tall shit. In fact, I don't want any more houses built out with fucking Lucan, because there's nothing but fucking houses out here. We actually need more, actually, amenities. We need more fucking business centers. We need more of those things. We need less fucking houses, right?
I was bored recently, and I looked this up about Lucan. So when we were growing up, and it's a great town, but when we were growing up, there was 15,000 people, and now it's over 60.
That's nuts, dude.
It's 400% increase in 30 years. And other than Liffey Valley Shopping Centre, I'm not sure of any major builds other than that in the last 30 years in terms of amenities. And that's a shopping centre that now charges for fucking parking.
Dude, and charges their staff. Even I was going, hold on a minute, right? But you're right, okay? I think the only business fucking centre industrial estate we have is down over Strawberry Beds, which has probably about maybe 20 little businesses in it. And it's just houses, 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 houses. And the traffic is a fucking disgrace. I mean, I'm an asthmatic, okay? And when I go for a walk in the village, I have to use my inhaler when I'm down there. That's how bad the traffic is. It was fucking awesome during lockdown. Okay, 99% of lockdown was terrible and shouldn't happen again. But that 1%, I could go for a walk and I could breathe. And because of that, that allows the likes of the Green Party and Eamon Ryan to start shouting about climate change, start shouting about air pollution. Yeah, but you're still building houses. And, you know, and
yeah,
I can feel my blood boiling, because I could just imagine what they're going to be doing, what the idea is, because you've that shit in Oxford with the 15-minute city thing. You fucking, that's coming here. That's going to be their excuse. You won't be able to fucking leave your town.
There needs to be, I used to say this about being able to vote for none of the above and have a national conversation. Yes.
What was that? Brewster's Billions.
Brewster's Millions. But it would be billions.
Brewster's Billions. Yeah, it would be billions now, yeah. Brewster's Billions.
What was it, $30 million? You could spend that in a fucking day. He says. But the, just a second.
You could get Bertie to take it. Because he's not banking. Wouldn't give you a receipt, though.
What you do is, for one election, you do none of the above that you can vote for.
Should be every election.
Right? And that, if that becomes either problematic to forming a government or the majority, then you have a technocrat government for 6 months or a year, while politicians, parties, and others go around and the country and have a national conversation. Why are you not voting for the parties? What is it that's not being fulfilled? And that then becomes like a national congress to decide about the way forward. I agree with David McWilliams. There needs to be a new city built somewhere way away from Dublin. Out, like, there's plenty of land out west. particularly, and even in parts of the Midlands, where you could have a new city that's built, but you've got to build all the infrastructure, rail and everything around it. And then you start to decentralize things to a new place like that. Christ, they did it in Nigeria. Abuja in Nigeria is business center and commercial center for Nigeria. But that's a town or city, as far as I'm aware, it was kind of deliberately to move things away from Lagos, which obviously is a very high population city in Nigeria. But there needs to be thinking like this around it. And at the moment, it always seems to be sticking plaster. The only time you ever see politicians and governments like coming up with really big ideas that work are when a country is on its knees. And actually, we should maybe be looking to do things when there is a bit of money in the economy, at least in taxation, put it towards something useful. But put it towards something that's going to be completely transformative, whether you revolutionize healthcare, which is on its knees, or something else. But they've got to start thinking big, because right now, the way it is, they're so terrified of Sinn Féin, which is the largest party, both north and south, but still in opposition in the south. They're so terrified. They won't make any big decisions long term. It feels like you're plodding along. Rather than making, like, we need to fix the housing crisis. So let's put a 3 to 5 year plan in place that's going to resolve 80% of it. But of course, that could go wrong. And they're scared of that.
Or what's even worse, no, I don't think they're scared it'll go wrong. They're scared it'll go right. And then they won't be, Sinn Féin will be the party in power when it starts going right. Right? Yeah. So when the good, because these things take time. And this is, and I agree with you, and we all know this. The problem is that governments are short term because they're short term. And it just, when you were saying that, it reminded me, do you remember the Bertie Bowl?
Oh,
Bertie Ahern wanted to basically build his own fucking stadium, right? But this is what happens in good times, right? And the new one at the moment, like we basically have the most, we're going to have the most expensive children's hospital on the fucking planet, and you won't be able to get into it, right? It's a disgrace. We're going to look, if the country doesn't go into the shits, we're going to look back at that decision in 10 years' time, okay? And we're going to go, it was a disgrace that was allowed to happen, okay? But the next one that's coming up is the fucking underground, the metro. Now...
Oh. I've been hearing about this one since I was 10. The underground metro is also going to go.
Fuck me. Right? Well, there was the Dart to Dingle would be a better bloody idea than the underground, right? Because they're saying it's going to cost, it only costs us a couple of billion, but didn't somebody slip it? Like, it might cost 32 billion by the end of it. Listen, is this the best we could do with 30 billion? How about we take the 30 billion? And we build a fucking, as you said, we just build a city. Build the infrastructure in the rest of the country that's needed, right? I couldn't agree more, right? David McWilliams is spot on. But here's the problem. They tried to do this a couple of years ago with the civil service. And what happens? Nothing. The decentralization idea was a great idea. But then you have to see, look, who's, you know, I mean, it's like asking the turkeys to vote for Christmas. And then, of course, they just called the unions in. What was that Carry On one? The Carry On film that was set in the fucking factory.
Carry On at Your Convenience.
And your man with the book, right? Come on, it was brilliant. Come here. He came in and says, we want you to put on different taps. And they go, no, a strike. They haven't been on a course to learn how to put that tap on. And everyone walks out. This is the fucking world we're living in. It's like we're asking to be just taken over. We are. It's how I feel. I feel like, and I don't want to mention the WEF. Well, I don't, because that just makes me want to.
On the union side of it, right? I would just say this. Unions lose their power where employees are paid well and have good benefits.
Yeah, but they're not needed as much.
Hold on. If you're alluding to strikes and stuff over here, I fully support the rail strikes and the NHS strikes that are going on. They have missed out on pay rise after pay rise.
That's fair. Yeah.
In the aid of austerity, which was never really required over here.
Yeah.
Pre-post Brexit, it's a shit show, as we talked about. Brexit. But I mean, again, we're all of us who were saying this back then are now being proven right. There's now a private meeting going on this weekend, all parties, to discuss what are we going to do about the shit show that's Brexit. So, but what I'm saying is unions lose their power where people are paid well, because I don't want to, if I'm getting paid well, I got good benefits and I can, you know, I can have a house and a decent life with my family. Do I really want to come out on strike over what's this now? We're going out on strike. You know, they want us to do something.
Unions. Look, be careful now. We've only got a couple minutes left, right? I need to be careful where I go with this. So just give me a sec right now. Unions and certain other movements, right, were very important and have changed society. And certain movements and unions need to go to other countries, right?
The only reason we have employee rights. Listen, but they're unions.
But yeah. So I'm not dissing them. Again, a little bit like Bertie, you got to reward them and acknowledge their importance at certain times in certain positions. But if a union's job and role is to ensure that employees, okay, are getting a good deal, well, then what happens when you succeed? When you succeed, you're no longer needed. So, and it's the same with politicians, and it's the same with everything else. It's that whole idea. Well, hold on. The people only love me when there's a problem to solve. We need to keep finding problems. And it's that fucking idea. We should just go, listen, did a great job. Yeah. Go over there. Look, they need help over there in Russia. I said the workers over in Russia need help. Go on over. We'll pay. I don't mind their flight being paid for by our taxes and the fucking unions over there. Sorry.
I said this recently in my job. I was joking, we're doing a big, without getting into any detail on it, but they're changing a lot of things for the better. And I kind of joked recently, I was like, well, look, let's not fix everything. I still need a job for the next 20 years. And that's true to a certain extent, right? But there's always problems that will bubble up. But you're right. I think, you know, there comes a point where unions, my father was a union leader for 20 odd years in Ireland. It was, you know, where he worked was one of the biggest unions in Ireland. And he would tell you that towards the end, the benefits were great, all that stuff. And it became ridiculous, the stuff that he used to go to management with. And he'd have to, because his members would say, you know, the free breakfast that they were getting. You realize it was getting ridiculous.
Oh, we're getting angry.
Two of the lads complained because they're like, the sausages that they're using in the canteen, it's more like a restaurant. That's a free breakfast, by the way. They're not the same size as the sausages they used to use. They're smaller. And my dad was like, that was one of the points where he thought,
That's a Carry On movie.
But the
carry
issue,
on your sausage.
Well, they didn't get on strike. They just raised it as a grievance. But then in the years after my dad retired, the union got weaker because of the benefits and stuff. And now, for the last 15 years, in that company, the vast majority of people they take on are not permanent. Don't get those benefits. They've shut down the medical center that they had. They've shut down the dental center that they've had.
Yeah.
All those benefits went away. So it's a very hard balance for a union where you don't want them militant when things are going really well, but you need some strength there when companies decide, like they do nowadays, we need less, and governments are, you know, 0 hours contracts and stuff.
That is a great point. And again, they're needed. Unions are needed, like politicians are needed. But where is that line when you go, hold on, we don't need you as much now? Because that should be their job. I think a politician's job should be to become less needed, not more fucking needed. Yeah. That's just what I think about that.
Okay.
Shit. And of course, Bertie's back, and yeah, that's going to be fucking fun. Fucking Bertie Ball. The Bertie Underground. Okay, come here. We got to go. Our 30 minutes is up. Yeah. Come here. As always, Al, that was enjoyable.
Yeah. I enjoyed that chat. That segue from Bertie to some interesting topics, I think.
I don't know. I can't remember what we were talking about. Come here, everybody. Stay safe. Come here. Like, share, tell your mother about us. I'm sure your mother likes Bertie. She's old enough anyway. So everybody, come here. Very good. Very, hope you enjoyed it. And get in contact if you want and stay safe.
Cheers, everyone.
Anything you want to? Yeah.
No, see you next
time. Bye, everybody.